I want to tell you, I met Norman Solomon a couple years ago after reading his book titled War Made Easy. He's the one that made me smart on this. This is a scholar. This is a man with unusual insight. He has a documentary that dovetailed with mine that shows you how easy it is to get. It's Norman who said in his book, if a president wants a war, he can have one. And now it's my pleasure. I want to remind you, my documentary is titled Body of War. His documentary is titled War Made Easy. And you will be instructed by his documentary, I promise you. And it's my honor to present Norman Solomon.
Someone who, during decades on national television, refused to cross a Union picket line ever, Phil Donahue. Someone, the most influential male feminist in the history of American television, Phil Donahue. And someone who, when the dogs of war were screaming for blood, when we heard about the smoking guns that weren't supposed to turn into mushroom clouds, when the lies were presented and gift-wrapped as truth to the American people, when dozens and dozens and dozens of national TV network hosts ran for cover and saluted the military invasion to come, there was one national network TV host who said, we will speak about alternatives to war. We will speak about those alternatives now. Phil Donahue. Now, here we are, just about a decade after that time. And it's real important, as always, for us to try to grasp the historical moment as we now breathe. We live at a time when one major political party has given faith a bad name. And when the other major political party has given hope a bad name. And those realities should not change the imperative, the necessity that we live with faith and hope, faith, a secular faith, in the power, potential, and necessity of democracy. It's our only hope, right? And that answers the other part of it, that our hope is predicated on the understanding hitched to the locomotive of action that you have demonstrated to the world in Wisconsin in the last years, and that we have to learn how to show more and more around this country at the grassroots that only democracy can save us and only we can make democracy happen. Now, I believe that it's essential at all times for us to strive for a combination that I've come to think as feet on the ground, eyes on the stars of our ideals. We know what happens with just one and not the other. When you go to the major legislatures in the states of this country, and you go to Washington, D.C., to the Congress, you can see what happens when the leaden feet are on the air and the ideals have been winnowed down and watered down and rationalized away. You get pretty much what we've gotten, which is totally unacceptable. And we know what happens when we don't got feet on the ground and we got those eyes on the stars of our ideals. We get some good books, we get some good films, we get some good speeches, and we don't get the job done. We got to get the job done, because that's what making democracy work is all about. Now, one of my heroes as a Californian is Upton Sinclair. Upton Sinclair, who wrote many books, who raised hell with his words, and then in 1934, he ran for governor of the state of California on a platform epic, End Poverty in California. Can you imagine in 2012 somebody running End Poverty in the United States? What a concept that we need. And something that Upton Sinclair said stays with me. He said, "I've written enough words. The world needs a deed." The words are necessary, I'd add, but insufficient. And as we look at deeds, as we try to grasp where we are at this historical moment, let's be clear. As progressives, we are committed to fighting for social justice, whether the person in the Oval Office is a Republican or a Democrat. We progressives believe in habeas corpus, whether the person in the Oval Office is a Republican or a Democrat. We don't believe in summary execution, no matter what the party is of the president. And we don't believe in busting unions or perpetual war either, no matter what the party of the president. And on. You know, as I was involved in my own political campaign in California, I was running with a bunch of other Democrats, and we talk about No Child Left Behind, boo. And then we talked about Race to the Top. I was the only one saying it's unacceptable. It doesn't matter what wrapping you put around the poison pill. It's still a poison pill. Now, I got to admit, I came here asking, well, I don't think favors is quite the right word, because you're doing yourself a big favor, too, if you fulfill these requests. But on behalf of the other 49 states and the District of Columbia, I do have some requests to the good people of the state of Wisconsin. One is, would you please do everything you can to send to the United States Senate Tammy Baldwin? And also, would you do everything you can to make sure that the electoral votes of this state do not go to create a Vice President Ryan and a President Romney? And that means doing everything you can to get as many votes in this state for Barack Obama. Now, some people call it walking and chewing gum at the same time. And some people call it dialectics. And some people call it all sorts of other things of all sorts of lengths of syllables. But whatever you call it, we can grasp, we can understand, and we can act upon simultaneous realities that seem to be, and perhaps are, in conflict. We understand that in the real world, contradictions exist. And I'd like to summarize one that I know I wrestle with all the time, and good chance you do too. President Obama is no progressive. There's no point in pretending he is. He has not only betrayed progressives, but he has betrayed the Bill of Rights, he has betrayed poor people, he has betrayed children, he has betrayed the elderly, and I'm still just talking about the United States of America, let alone around the world. He has betrayed our progressive values. At the same time, there are a dozen states in this country that are called swing states, and we're in one of them. And Governor Romney and Congressman Ryan are hoping. They're hoping that you and people who listen to you and people you might reach out to, Romney and Ryan are hoping that you will help them get the electoral votes in this state. And I am asking you, if you have any hesitation, I am asking you to think more about this and to make sure that when election night comes and as the votes are tallied, when Romney and Ryan look at the big map and they look at the state of Wisconsin, that you have disappointed them. Now we, to sort of sum up my thoughts here for now, I feel that as progressives we have, you might say, two overarching responsibilities. One is historic. I mean, I don't know what they called people who were out saying, you know, let my people go, very millennia ago, whether they were called commies or anarchists or, you know, whatever, syndicalists, radical unionists. But for millennia, the fight against oppression, against racism, xenophobia, misogyny, nativism, that fight has gone on century after century and millennia after millennia, and it continues today. And no matter what you call us, progressives or whatever, we have a responsibility to engage in that fight 24/7, 365. And those beachheads that are still being landed on are being landed on by the Republican Party. And they've got to be defeated. And there's no time like the present, there's no time like this year. And the other responsibility is to move progressive policies and ideals into implementation and into action. And the failures of the current administration in the White House, we say no, it is totally unacceptable to abdicate those progressive responsibilities. And we're going to fight like hell for those responsibilities to be implemented. So I'd like to close on a couple notes. One is that organizing is always key to any success of any movements. And I'd like to share with you, and I hope if you've got something to write with, I was going to say a pen, but you know it sounds sort of old-fashioned. If you got something to note, I'd like to give you the name of an organization that now has 175,000 progressives online, opted in, getting messages along the lines of the politics, that I've described. It's called rootsaction.org. And if you go to that site, we can be wired together. We put out several email alerts a week, or at least a couple of them. Founded by Jeff Cohen, the founder of the Media Watch Group, FAIR, and myself. You may know David Swanson, he works on this every day as well. Many, many others. So I want to ask you, so that we can be connected together as an action arm, a progressive action arm around the country, you go on, it'll take about 30 to 45 seconds, add your email address, we'll be in touch. Again, rootsaction.org, R-O-O-T-S. Action.org. As I say goodbye, and I've been so happy after a decade to finally get myself to Fighting Bob Fest, and thanks for that invitation to be here. I was thinking yesterday about where I was 10 years ago, and I don't know why, but the question came into my head. And I realized very quickly that September 13th, 14th, and 15th of the year 2012, is exactly 10 years after, in the year 2002, I was in Baghdad. And you may remember that the early fall of 2002 was a time when the war drums were beating louder and louder. President Bush did not want UN weapons inspectors back into Iraq. And so I went with one of the great progressives from the upper Midwest, Jim Abaresque, former Senator Jim Abaresque, as well as a sitting member of Congress at that point, and still is, Nick Rahal, and Jim Jennings from Conscience International. And we went, and long story short, and we were in the streets and in the offices and suites of Baghdad exactly at this moment, exactly 10 years ago, we met with officials of the Iraqi government as an exercise of citizen diplomacy to try to find an alternative to what we feared and what did become the invasion and occupation of Iraq. And as I went through the streets of Baghdad on that day, on those mornings and afternoons and evenings, I saw people of all ages. And as I mentioned last night at the Goodman Community Center, I looked in the eyes of children and elderly, and I thought, will my country bomb you? We know the answer to that question now in terms of Baghdad. But the question still lingers in Iran, and in fact, in countries that we may not even think of day after day or even year after year. But we live in a warfare state, and the only way to end the warfare state is democracy, and we're the people to make it happen. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.